It's Friday, the 4th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Draymond Green and Jared Salinger. Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Iceman Dewey. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Iceman Dewey and sponsor the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can become a sponsor of the day. So thank you to Iceman Dewey, thank you to everyone else who has done that this season. It has been tremendous, and I do encourage you, if you've got a spare couple of minutes to do that, it would be awesome to help out the show. If you are watching along live on YouTube, if you want to interact with the show as I'm doing it, tweet me at redrock_bball. That's the best way for me to interact live on the show. I get my little notifications pop up on my screen when a tweet comes through, and we can address any of those questions that fit into the show while it's going on. So if you want to do that, go ahead, do it. Four games in the NBA on Thursday, the Warriors Thunder rematch from the weekend, the Warriors taking care of business pretty comfortably in the end. The Thunder with a few problems of their own. We've got 10 games on Friday to preview, so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, as per usual.
Let's get to it.
All right, let's start with our daily contest. On Instagram for Thursday, we were looking at Justice Winslow. How many combined rebounds and steals would Justice get? The total was 8. We had two winners, at You Know Me and at Clutterfulness. Both you guys got it correct, so well done. On Facebook, we're looking at Steph Curry, the combined points and assists for Steph. The total was 37. Two people got that one right, Jeff Richard Padre and Valeo Reynoso Jorge. I apologize if I completely destroyed any of those names, but I did my very best. On Friday for Instagram, we're looking for DeMar DeRozan combined points and assists, and on Facebook, we're going to go with Thad Young combined points and rebounds. Follow me on Instagram at redrock_bball and join in these contests, and on Facebook at facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Also up on Facebook, I put out a post asking you guys to comment who's been your number one waiver wire pickup of the season. So if you haven't gone and added your 2 cents worth over there, I do encourage you to do that and read some of the other stories and see some of the players that have been dropped in some leagues. Nerland Noel, someone was able to pick up off their waiver wire. You'll be shocked at some of the players that are available. Chris Middleton was available on someone's waiver wire. There's some ludicrousness that happens early on in season. So go and put your story over there on the Facebook page and leave your answer. All right, let's get straight into the monstrous line of the night. It was quite a tough one tonight. I was debating whether to give it to Kevin Durant. Instead, I went with Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs. He played 39 minutes for the Spurs in the victory over the Pelicans. He had 30 points, 6 triples, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, so contributing right over the whole board. Didn't attempt a single free throw, which is a little bit weird and disappointing, but still, 12 of 22 from the field. Only the 2 turnovers. A really awesome game from Kawhi. He has he had a bit of a slump around that January-December mark, but picking things back up now. He's a top 5 player over the last 2 weeks. He's ranked 7th in 8 category leagues over the course of the season. He has been fantastic. Stepping things up tremendously. I think the biggest thing that he's done is he's increased his efficiency. Like, he was already super efficient, but he has taken his field goal percentage up from 48 to 52 and his free throws from 80 to 88, all while increasing the attempts. So only 0.3 extra free throws, but an extra 2 shots from the field. He's hitting almost 2 triples a game at 48%, which is up from 35 last year. That is a ridiculous increase. And still doing the great things that he does defensively. The steal numbers are a bit down, but still 1.8 steals is not much to complain about. He's a 20-point scorer. He's a stud. There's no more to say about Kawhi Leonard. The waiver wire line of the night and the young gun of the night goes to the same player, Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. He's owned in just 44% of leagues, and he had a career-high 34 points, going 11 of 21 from the field. He hit 3 triples, had 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. He had been terrible up until this game recently, over the last month or two. Over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked outside the top 230, and that's including today's game. He's ranked 150th over the last 2 months. It's been really tough to hold on to. This was a nice game, and coming against quality opponents as well. I'm not rushing to go and grab Devin Booker. If I've got a spare roster spot, fine, but I don't think that this is indicative of all. Devin Booker's now flicked it on after 2 months of subpar play, basically. despite getting decent minutes, I'm not sure that I'm looking at this and going, yeah, okay, Devin Booker is going to do this as a regular thing moving forward. I'm a little bit skeptical about that. Still think he's good, still think he's interesting, and he's worth looking at, definitely. In a 12-team league, it depends on who I'm looking to drop, but I'd be okay adding him. But by no means is he a, everyone go and get your hands on Devin Booker if he's on your waiver wire. I don't know. Too much responsibility, too much load is placed on him, on this team that's terrible, and that's going to take its toll as defenses really have to hone in on him. Next to him, he's got PJ Tucker, he's got Ronnie Price. Like, these guys are trash. All the small help is going to go onto him, and it's going to impact his field goal percentage, and he's not going to shoot 50% very often like he did tonight. I think he'd struggled to hit even 30% over the last couple of games. That is going to be an issue with him. But by all means, add him and see how it plays out. But don't be too optimistic, I would say. The dud of the night goes to Enes Kanter. And you might say, Josh, why is he the dud of the night? You know, we know he's a dud. Fine. But 75% of people in Yahoo leagues own him. That's an incorrect statement because not 75% of people. He's owned in 75% of Yahoo leagues. That is ridiculously high. And I know I talk about inactive leagues, but still, that's way too high. 6-4 for Kanter in 13 minutes. No other stats. I like Kanter. I think he's a really decent player, but he's not ownable in 75% of leagues. He just shouldn't be. Yes, he'll have the occasional big game. Yes, his percentages are really nice. You know, 56% and 78% from the field and from the line, respectively. But no steals, no blocks, no assists, no threes, 12 points. The only positive he's giving you is, in the counting stats, his rebounding. And to me, that's not ownable in 12-team formats. He was the dud of the night here, you know, quite clearly with this disappointing night. He's only averaging 20 minutes a game this season. I'm fairly confident that at some point throughout the season, if you're still holding Enes Kanter, you could have gotten someone better off the waiver wire. And holding on to him, while you can say, yeah, okay, Josh, he's ranked 127th, but the opportunity you had to drop him and grab someone else is probably a missed opportunity. And that would have cost you more than what his actual ranking is. To me, there's no real reason holding on to Enes Kanter at this point in the season, and there hasn't been for quite a while. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Thursday. At point guard, Goran Dragic at 38.4. Sure loves playing against his former team, the Suns. Patty Mills put up 32.8 in a game. A little bit surprising for him to put up such big numbers. Hasn't been doing as well lately. Shooting guards, Dwayne Wade, 40.3. This is a beautiful matchup for him, and he took advantage of it. And Booker, as we've discussed before, a game that was completely out of character with the last 2 months of performance. Kawhi, 53.7, was great. Chandler Parsons against the Kings, both of those guys were players that I highlighted yesterday. And at power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge against the Pelicans is also a nice spot. And he put up 37.1. Well, David Lee put up 27.7. That is a complete punt option. I don't think I would have had him in any lineup, even if I created 100 of them. Boogie Cousins at 47.1 was also a relatively common sense move to have as your center. The total of that lineup would have only given you 360, so I think we see probably a little bit of a lower cash game line than what we have on some of the other nights in the NBA. All right, we're going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors. And then after that, we'll be back to go through these four games in a little bit more detail and see what sort of information we can get out of it. All right, guys, we're back. The first game of the night was the Phoenix Suns traveling to Miami. PJ Tucker played 31 minutes. He had 10-5 with two steals. It's quite tough to keep owning him, I think, in 12-team leagues. He's more of a 14-team league guy, but I can understand owning him in certain punt situations. Ron Price was terrible. 19 minutes, 5 fouls. That limited his playing time. The Suns went without a point guard for a lot of this game, as the only other point guard on the roster is Phil Pressey, and he played 2 minutes. They had Archie Goodwin out there handling the ball. Booker was handling the ball a little bit as well. John Jenkins played 26 minutes. The rotation still stinks. As for Price, he's not worth your spot in a 12-team league. No chance. Mirza Teletovic, 11-5 with 2 triples, 2 steals and a block in 28 minutes. He's going to continue to get that 28 to 29 minute role off the bench. He's going to remain off the bench, and he's going to be useful for points and threes, but don't overvalue what he can do. That's basically what he is. Alex Len, on the other hand, he has to be owned. He's had to be owned for quite a while. 40 minutes, 12-13 with a block. The shooting is not good, 4-14, but he is a more efficient shooter than that in general. The free throws are nice. He's a decent free throw shooter. He will start to block more shots. He's going to be used quite a lot, which is great. Has to be owned. Tyson Chandler only played 19 minutes. He went 6-3. He's not worth owning in 12-team leagues. And nor is Archie Goodwin, who played 24 minutes and went 10-2-3. So his little run as the starting point guard when he was fine for fantasy is over. And you have to be pretty deep, you know, 18-20 team league deep to look at Archie Goodwin as a fantasy prospect. John Jenkins played 26 minutes in this one, only 5 points. Obviously, he's even below guys like Archie Goodwin in terms of their fantasy relevance for the season. On the Heat, Hassan Whiteside continued to come off the bench. He only played 23 minutes, but still a big night. 9-11, 1 steal and 5 blocks. Hit his only free throw, continues to be really good. Goran Dragic, 25-7-4, while Dwayne Wade went 27-4-7. And these two are really starting to click in the backcourt now. Great shooting percentages. It was an awesome matchup, but they're playing so much better than they were earlier on this season. Joe Johnson got 31 minutes. Not great. 8-3-2 with 2 triples. I still think that you should own him, but we saw earlier on those first couple of games, there was just ridiculous shooting, that he was never going to be able to continue. And I talked about that and that phenomenon of when a guy joins a new team, we're very much set in, this is what he did in the first two games, and this is what's going to happen forever. No, he wasn't going to shoot 70%. It's going to come down. He's still going to be useful, but he was never going to be as awesome as he was in those first couple. Justice Winslow, 29 minutes off the bench, 9-7, a 3, a steal. Yeah, Justice Winslow, obviously he's lost 3 or 4 minutes since Johnson's arrived, and that's going to hurt his rest of season value. Not a must-own 12-team league guy for sure. A streaming for rebounds, that's probably about it at this point. Amari Stoudemire got 25 minutes. The Heat had this game in control pretty easily, so Whiteside didn't have to play as much. Stoudemire was playing pretty well. Both guys had some foul trouble. Stoudemire, 8-9 with 3 blocks. That's 8 blocks in the last couple of games from Stoudemire. Not really buying that. Luol Deng, 12-4-4 with 2 threes in his 29 minutes. But again, it was a blowout. The minutes were spread. We saw Josh McRoberts back in the rotation. We saw Gerald Green play 10 minutes. Not sure if that's going to be something that continues. But the next two games are against Philadelphia and Phoenix. So we might see more McRoberts. We might see more Green. Josh Richardson played 23 minutes, dealt with a finger dislocation, and still looks pretty good. 6-2-3, 1-3-1 steal. He's not a 12-team league guy, but he's more of a 14-16 team league guy, and I do really like his dynasty potential, as I've mentioned plenty of times on this podcast. The San Antonio Spurs and the New Orleans Pelicans. Patty Mills played 27 minutes in this one. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block. Really great night from... that was the wrong line. That was LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's go back to Patty Mills. 9-4-8 with 3 steals, 1 block, and 1 triple. A really, really good night from him. But 27 minutes is well above what he's been getting recently. Tony Parker only played 24 in this game. And that was always a chance with them playing against the Pelicans. And Parker playing some elevated minutes recently. You'd get him back down and get him under control. Danny Green, 11-3-4 with a 3 and a steal. That's okay in 34 minutes. It's not great. I still want to hold him, but I can understand not. LaMarcus Aldridge, take 2, 35 minutes, 26-9 with a block on 11 of 19 shooting. So nice numbers from him. And Timmy Duncan went 7-5 with 2 blocks in his 22 minutes. Parker, only the 2 points, did have 5 assists, but not his greatest night. He still should be owned. Make sure that he is owned. He has only owned in 70% of leagues. Yes, there'll be some time off for him, but in a 12-team league, he's fine as the last man on your bench. And Kyle Anderson continues to carve out this nice role. 17 minutes, just 2 points, but 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Continues to get it done. A real 16-team league sort of player, but you're showing over these last 3 weeks or so that he has a place in this league and he fits on this team, and he's working out really well lately. Over the last month, he's ranked 187th. Now, in the last 2 weeks, he's 139th. There is value in him for fantasy leagues, but it has to be on the deeper side of things. To start the season, you probably didn't own him in any league, but now he's definitely climbing up. On the Pelicans, Anthony Davis, 17-13 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Yep, that's a nice night. Same with Eric Gordon, who went 23-5-4 with 3 triples. Gordon is going to have a pretty strong end to the season with Tyreek Evans out, I think. Talked about Norris Cole a fair bit in the last time the Pelicans played. 29 minutes for him, 11-3-5 with 2 steals. That's more of a Norris Cole game, going 5-13 from the field. Still think you probably should own him at this point, for even as much as I detest his game. Yeah, I think you have to own him, especially for his assist numbers. Drew Holiday went 13-3-7 with 2 steals, and the Pelicans running out of starting lineup with Kendrick Perkins playing 27 minutes and Dante Cunningham playing 32 is not good for anybody. Now, I can understand why Perkins played that extra minutes because Omer Asik was out, and now Alexey Zhintsev has a fractured sternum, which sounds terrible. He's done for the season. There'd be no chance of seeing him this season. 2-4 for Perkins in his 27 minutes. He doesn't have fantasy value there. Ryan Anderson, just the 13 minutes, 8-4 with one triple on 3-10 shooting. He is as hot and cold as they come. It must be really frustrating owning him. I don't own him in any leagues. Continues to be overrated for a fantasy and even a real life player to me. Very, very overrated in my opinion. Luke Babbitt got 17 minutes and Alonzo G played 16 minutes and they didn't do a massive amount. The Sacramento Kings and Dallas Mavericks. Rajon Rondo returned to Dallas and went 18-5-12 with 3 steals. Didn't have the issue of last time when he played, or no, maybe not last time, it was the first time with the hacking problem. He only took 4 free throws and went 2-4, but a big game from Rondo, a big game from Boogie going 22-13-5 with a steal and 2 blocks as well, and actually shot over 53%, which is well up on what he'd been doing recently. Rudy Gay returned from his shoulder injury, just wasn't as involved as what he'd been recently, 9-7 with 2 steals, but the encouraging thing is he played 36 minutes right off the bat, so it doesn't appear to be any concern with him moving forward. Quincy Acey still starts, I don't know, 16 minutes, 4-3, while Willie Cauley-Stein played just 6 minutes. I feel like they're just completely messing around with Cauley-Stein. It was an odd pick when it was made to pair him with Cousins, granted, but Quincy Acey shouldn't be getting minutes over him. There is no situation in the world where Quincy Acey should be getting minutes over Willie Cauley-Stein at this point in the season. Obviously, Cauley-Stein's fantasy value is very low, but if you're in a dynasty format, this is the low point for him, and it's time to acquire him for cheap if you can. Omri Caspi's value is in the toilet as well. 20 minutes, 9-4 with a triple one. 14 team leagues, maybe. Now, Darren Collison, 14 points, 2 assists, and a 3 in 28 minutes. He's a 12-team league guy, despite his relatively low ownership of 65%. And Ben McLemore had 10 points in his 23 minutes. Any sort of breakout for him definitely hasn't arrived. On the Mavericks, Parsons, 28-9-5, 3 triples, 12 of 17 shooting is obviously awesome. He was a great option today, and he's had a really strong second half as he gets back to normal levels of playing with his knee. David Lee, 18 minutes, 12-11, a steal and a block. I'm still not sold on him. I'm not adding him in 12 team leagues. I added him in the Red Rock Roto League, and I think it's a 16 team league. I've added him there, and 14 team leagues, sure. In a 12 team leagues, maybe, but do you really believe? No, I don't. You might, but I don't think he's going to be able to have impactful enough numbers in less than 20 minutes a game, which is what I anticipate him getting. He might, but 12-11 in 18 minutes is awesome. I just don't think that it's anywhere near sustainable. Dirk had 16-6-5. Darren Williams went 15-3-5 with 3 triples. And Ray Felton, a disappointing 5-5 in his 26 minutes. Now, Zaza Pachulia only played 24 minutes here. He went 6-6, a little bit down on that last game where he played over 30. A little bit of concern with him, definitely, but nothing. I'll say he's not a must-own guy, but my preference would be definitely to keep owning him. Wes Matthews, who'd been quite strong recently, stunk 4-3-4 in his 36 minutes, and it's going to happen with him, no doubt. On to the Thunder. Kevin Durant, 32-10-9. 1 steal, 2 blocks, and a great 10-11 from the line, and 11-17 from the field. So big numbers there. 9 turnovers is not ideal, but still, if you draft Durant, you're gonna cop it in the turnover stake, but it's great to get such a massive positive impact in field goal percentage and free throw percentage, not to mention the 9 assists. Serge Ibaka had 20 points, 6 rebounds, a block and 2 triples, and Westbrook went 22-6-7 with a block and a 3. Not his best night, especially when he went 8-24 from the field. Just some reckless shooting from him, some reckless passing from Durant. Not a great night for the Thunder at all, as they ended up losing by 15. Steve Adams played 20 minutes. He went 3-3, the Thunder going without a center for a big chunk of this game. Andre Robertson played 36 minutes. That's a trend for him against the Warriors. He had 11 rebounds with 4 points. He's not fantasy relevant pretty much in any format, nor is Deion Waiters, who had 6 points in his 21 minutes. No campaign, because Randy Foy is thieving 20 minutes a night, 4-3 for Foy in his 20 minutes. On to the Warriors. Curry went 33-4-4 with 5 triples, a steal, and a block. Back from his ankle injury, no problems there. Andre Iguodala returned from his hammy. He had 2 points in 14 minutes, obviously just easing him back into it. And Klay Thompson, 21, 3 assists, 2 steals. Harry Barnes, probably one of his best nights, 14, 7 and 5 after I went at great length to explain why I don't like him in the last couple of shows. That's probably his best game in a while. Doesn't change anything for me. I'm not going and owning him. And Draymond went 14, 8 and 7 with 2 steals and some pretty poor free throw shooting. 1 of 4 for Draymond. Andy Bogut, 26 minutes for him, 6, 7 and 6, a steal, a block. Nice numbers, but you know the pitfalls of dealing with Andrew Bogut in fantasy leagues. They still exist. There's going to be ups and downs, and he's great when the minutes are up. He's useless when the minutes are down. But in certain builds, I've got no issue with owning him in a 12-team league. All right, that is it for the review portion of the podcast. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to look at the 10 games for DFS for Friday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street and I'm wondering if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart break so, so long ago. And don't go, please take my hand. I'll take you to the place that we both met so long ago. It was a bad night. I just couldn't get you off my mind. I'm so sick of feeling like you've just left me behind. Sick of looking for something I'll never find. Don't go. Don't you know my face?
Guys, we are back. There are 10 games on Friday. There's some interesting situations DFS wise. Let's get stuck straight into these 10 games and see what we can work out and hopefully win some money. The first game, the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a back-to-back for the Heat, but seriously, the Suns and the Sixers, two games back-to-back, it feels like it's just one game. So I'm not all that worried about them resting due to a back-to-back. I'd be more worried about them resting because they're 30 points up in the last quarter. Although the Sixers obviously have been a little bit better than what the Suns have been recently. Injury-wise, we need to look at Jahlil Okafor, who's questionable. He did not participate in practice, so there's a big chance he doesn't play. Nerlens Noel also had an issue with practice, but he's listed as probable, so he is likely to play. At the point guard spot, Ish Smith has been better lately, but the 6'6 price tag doesn't give you enough. His average of 34 across the last three doesn't give you enough at 6,600. And he's playing the Heat. So that's a big no thanks for me. Goran Dragic is now up to 6,500. So his salary has increased. He's been great lately, averaging 35 across the last three. Dropped 38 today. This is a really tasty matchup for him. Can he keep it going? I'm okay with using Dragic. I would much rather spend that $100 less and use Dragic than I would with using Ish Smith. But maybe not the best option on the board, but I still think he's a pretty solid guy to look at. TJ McConnell and Isaiah Cannon, not really big factors. Dwayne Wade at 7,500. Now, if it wasn't for the situation of it's a back-to-back, maybe Wade plays less than the 33 minutes he's averaged over the last five, then I'd be all in for him at 7,500. He's averaging 39 across his last three, 38 across his last five. He's been fantastic recently, and actually health-wise, he's probably been his best season in a very long time. This could be a situation that maybe he plays 29 minutes, maybe he plays 30 minutes. There's a little bit of concern there, but I do like his ability to get us 40 points here against the Sixers. Joe Johnson at 5,600, not a great game, a great matchup for him, not great in today's one at 14.6 points, but at 5,600, he's averaging 25 across his last five, nice matchup, he historically has done quite well against the Sixers, I'm okay with rolling him out in a tournament. Josh Richardson, as much as I love him at 3,700, he is not a great DFS play. Small forwards, Bob Cove, 5,100, has been playing pretty well lately, not a good matchup for him.
You could throw him into a tournament and hope that he goes off like he did in the last game, but I'm not having massive confidence in him. Luol Deng at 6,000, that salary feels a little bit high. Since Joe Johnson's arrived, his production has dropped off somewhat, averaging just 26 across the last three, and at 6,000, I need him to do more. I don't mind that the matchup's great, but not sure I want to use him. Justice Winslow at 4,400, he doesn't have any DFS appeal to me at the moment. Power forwards, Nerlens Noel at 6,100, hasn't reached 30 minutes in the last three games, so that's a no for me. 3,800 for Amari. Amari Stoudemire is averaging 22 points across his last three. This is a nice matchup. Does Hassan Whiteside play 25 minutes in this one? And Amari played 23-24? I don't mind throwing Amari into a tournament. And someone was asking me, I think it's Coach Reed, ex-Coach Reed on Twitter, to throw in some cheap option punt guys. Amari's a guy that you might look at to get 24-25 points at 3,800 and could have a sort of bigger than usual role in this game. Jeremy Grant at 5,000. No if Okafor plays. Yes if Okafor doesn't play, although he stunk in the last one when Okafor was out. But at 5,000, I think you have to roll the dice with him if Okafor happens to not play. If Noel doesn't play for some reason, Rishaun Holmes at minimum salary would be a guy that I'd be all over. So that's another one, but that requires Okafor and Noel both not playing. And it appears that Noel is almost a certainty to front up. At center, Jahlil Okafor at 6,300. No, I'm not gonna put him in after missing the last couple of games. Hassan Whiteside at 8,600, that's a pretty big salary, and there is a chance that he doesn't get the 30 minutes in this one, so I reckon I'll look in other directions rather than Whiteside at the center spot. Indiana versus Charlotte. And before we get into the DFS value of this game, Ty Lawson signed with Indiana, and he's one of those players who just has lingering appeal. Should I add Ty Lawson in 12-team leagues? No, I don't think you should, because Let's talk about it. Who's he taking minutes off? Is George Hill playing less than 30 minutes now? So he's got to get... Okay, so the guy that they're waiving is Chase Buttinger, who's been averaging, I don't know, 10 minutes a game and barely playing. Yeah, not every game, so there's no real minutes to take away from Buttinger. So Lawson, to be relevant, would need to play 25 minutes, 26 minutes. Where is he going to get it? Is he going to take it away from George Hill? Is Hill going to drop down to 20 minutes a game? No. Is he going to take minutes away from Monte Ellis, who's the default backup point guard, who's getting 35 minutes a game? No. Is he going to take it away from Rod Stuckey, who's only getting 20 minutes a night anyway? Yeah, maybe he takes 2 or 3 minutes away from Stuckey, but Stuckey plays mainly as a two. They move, you know, George Hill plays the one next to Ellis. Hill goes off, Ellis goes to the one, and Stuckey comes in at the two. That's normally the way they've been running it. I don't see Lawson having any impact in 12-team leagues. I think he's a stretch for a 14-team league. Look, maybe things click for him and the Pacers go, wow, look at this. Look what we've been missing. Ty Lawson, George Hill, see you later. You're on the bench. You're useless. Whatever. I just don't see him becoming a 30-minute player. And he needs to become a 30-minute player for me to go yes for 12-team leagues. But you have to talk yourself through it. Where does he get that? Coming into a new team at the start of March with 6 weeks left in the regular season for a guy that you couldn't fit into the rotation in Houston, I don't think that Frank Vogel's going to go, yeah, guys, we got it, 37 minutes, new point guard, we're changing everything, we've got a new team here, Lawson's the guy. He also needs the ball in his hand, and you know what he's not getting? The ball in his hand with Monte and Paul George. So even if George Hill misses time, it's not like Ty Lawson's going to be, okay, I've got this, boys, because Paul George is going to go, no, thanks, mate, I've got it, and Monte's going to go, step back in line. He's not going to be this primary guy. For me, I'm not interested. I'd look at him in a 16-team league. I might have a look in a 14, but I probably wouldn't. And I could be completely wrong about all this, but all my logic tends me to think there's no way that he is a top 150 player from here until the end of the season. No way. The point guards in this one, Kemba Walker is at 8,500. A nice matchup for him. He's played well against Indiana this season. He's averaging 39 across the last three, 38 across the last five, and that's pretty good. He had a 44-point game in the last game. He's had a 48-point game in his last five, so he definitely has big game potential. 8,500, it just feels a bit expensive, but I don't hate it. I would be okay with using Kemba Walker at 8,500 and thinking maybe this is the game he goes for that 45 or 46 or even 50 points. He's got it in him. George Hill, after all this talk of Ty Lawson, he's actually got a groin issue. He's got groin soreness. He's probable, though, so I don't think there's any concern of him missing. He's not a real fantasy option, a DFS option anyway. At 5,500, he's only averaging 23 points across the last five. Yeah, and as good as the matchup is for him, there are better options on the board. Ty Lawson is not someone we're looking at playing here. If you are looking at playing Ty Lawson, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed because I don't think he's even on FanDuel today. Shooting guards, Nick Batum is at 6,200. Performance hasn't quite been up to scratch in DFS terms recently. At 6,200 against the Pacers, it's not a great spot. Courtney Lee at 3,600. You look at that salary and go, look, starting shooting guard at 3,600, just a tick above minimum, that's great. But Courtney Lee's not great. He's averaged 18 across his last five, 16 across his last three. If he gets 20, then yes, there's value. But his highest score in his last five is 21. He's just not a fantasy producer. Monte Ellis at 6,300. I can do better than him at 63. Yeah, he's been okay, a 30-point average across the last five, but I'm just not feeling it at that salary. Jeremy Lamb, Jeremy Lin, not enough minutes for them to go around. And Rod Stuckey at 3,800. He was all right in the last game, 18 points in 19 minutes. But, yeah, I'm definitely not deploying him in a DFS lineup. Small forwards, Paul George, 8,500. He's been really off his game lately. Now, this is a positive matchup going up against the Hornets, but a 30 average across his last three means that I am only sticking Paul George into tournaments, and even then, there's some other power forwards or small forwards that I would rather use over him. He just has, his shot has not been falling. We know that he can go big, and he's got 50-plus upside, but there's no cash game reliability for him whatsoever. CJ Miles, by the way, is also out of this game if you're waiting. Also, Ty Lawson's not playing this game either. He's been ruled out already, so I forgot to mention that a little bit earlier. Cody Zeller is probable. He's dealing with some lower back tightness. We're not using him for DFS anyway. He was really good in the last game, 32 points, but not against this Pacers front line and not with the minutes sort of being capped by the presence of Elk Jefferson. Miles Turner at 5,300, just struggling at the moment. Look, providing still nice value, nice seasonal value, but not getting enough for DFS. But that salary is coming down, and he's going to turn the corner to be useful again. 5,900 for Marvin Williams. Yeah, not in this one. Not against the Pacers. And Frank Kaminsky at 3,700. I don't mind Frank. He put up 23 points in the last game. He's had a 24-point game in his last five. The salary's low. Don't mind throwing him out just as a punt option in a tournament, and maybe he gets hot, but it's not the greatest option in the world, obviously. At center, Yan Mahimi is at 5,000. He put up 32 in the last game. This is a positive matchup for him. Fine using him. Foul trouble has been an issue, though, so that probably restricts him to tournaments. Jordan Hill at 4,300. He's the same, that if Mahimi gets limited by fouls, Hill will get into the game, and he can you know, get some points. But 4,300, I prefer him at 38 or 39. Not going to happen. Al Jefferson at 5,300, there is no chance of that happening for me either. The next game, the Phoenix Suns and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 12.5. The total here is 216.5. That is a pretty big total. There is a lot happening fantasy-wise here. Lord Alfred Payton at the point guard spot, 5,300. He put up 33 in the last game. The minutes are trending up. He's now averaging 30 across his last five. Can you trust Scott Skiles? The answer is always no, but Payton going up against Phoenix, it could mean big point guard numbers. Happy to use him, but it's probably only a tournament. Ron Price at 3,800, been dreadful lately, but you know, I'm okay in a tournament at that salary. If he starts and plays 29 minutes, maybe something comes off, but my faith in him is, it's not decreasing because I had very little in him to begin with. CJ Watson and Brandon Jennings, they might have big nights, but who are you to predict that? No one can. And no other point guards really worth talking about there. Devin Booker is the shooting guard we want to look at here. He had a massive 40-point game. He's at 4,700. No cash game reliability for me whatsoever. If you look at his min-maxes over the last five, 40 and 8. It's a big, big discrepancy, and it's still in decent minutes. Not all that interested in using him in cash, but tournaments, fine, worth a look. Vic Oladipo, 6,600. It feels too expensive, but you think that the fact that he's playing against Phoenix, I'm okay with using him. I think that there is definite upside there for 40 points at 6,600. I'm fine with it. Evan Fournier at 5,400 is questionable. The wrist is still an issue, so that's leaning me to think, okay, we're not going to see I think we're not going to see Fournier play, and that's going to take us to one of the small forwards later on. Archie Goodwin at 4,600, that's too high. Hasn't come down enough since his run as a starter, and no one else worth mentioning. Small forwards, Mario Hezonja is the one to look at here. If Fournier is out, he put up 34 points in 37 minutes in the last game. He's priced at 3,800. a great, great tournament option. And if Fournier is out, I would feel okay at 3,800 in running him in a cash game because he looked awesome in the last game. PJ Tucker at 4,700, he needs to be priced under 4,000. I do not want to spend 4,700 on PJ Tucker. Power forwards. Mirza Teletovic, 4,700. We know he can get hot. We know he can go big. Fine with looking at him. He's not a bad guy if you're looking for a cheap power forward, especially considering at 4,700, his lowest score in his last five has been 21. That's pretty good. On the other side, Aaron Gordon's pretty good as well. 6,400 for Gordon, dropped 36 in the last game. He's averaging 32 across his last five. He's only had one bad game in the last five, and that was a foul trouble game. He still put up 20 fantasy points. I think that in cash, you have to look at Aaron Gordon really, really hard. And tournaments, he could love playing against Phoenix. This could be a massive Aaron Gordon night. You know what I spent today doing in my lunch break? Is watching Aaron Gordon's 16-year-old mixtape. And I was thinking to myself, imagine if I was 16 and I was playing sport at school, no matter what it was. I didn't play basketball at school. And if any of you know, I'm a terrible actual basketball player. I'm no good whatsoever. But if I was playing one of the sports that I actually played, like I played cricket or I played Australian football, and if I came up against someone that was doing the things that Aaron Gordon was doing at 16, I probably just would have charged back to the locker room and said, "Oh, sorry guys, I'm out. I can't deal with it. How could you deal with this? He's doing double pump, double clutch alley-oops at 16. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. You're just stupid. It's ridiculous. Anyway, the centers. Alex Len, love him here. He's got Nick Vucevic as an opponent. He's at 5,300. He's been getting shitloads of minutes. He's averaging 35 across his last three. This should be another 30-point outing for Len. Love it. Nick Vucevic at 8,000. It feels probably a little bit expensive, but this is a great matchup against Phoenix. So 40 points, is it on the cards? I think there's an opportunity for that. Not the best center play out there, but definite ability for him to do something. Tyson Chandler at 4,400, no chance. Portland at Toronto. The Raptors are favored by 5. The total is 208.5 points. Let's look at the point guards. Kyle Lowry is at 9,100. Love Lowry here at 9,100. He's averaging 51 across his last three. He's had a higher score in his last five of 69. His lower score has been just 33. At 9,100, 40 points should feel like an actual lock for him. I love him here. Dame Lillard, on the other hand, at 9,100, same salary. His numbers are paling into insignificance compared with Lowry. Plus, he's got a harder matchup. That's probably all the ingredients he needs to completely buck common sense and go off. But if I'm spending 9,100 on a point guard, it is Lowry and it is not Lillard. I love Lillard, but it's Lowry. Shooting guards. DeMar DeRozan is at 7,700. He's been solid, but the Blazers are really shutting down opposition shooting guards at the moment. He put up 37 in his last game. He's averaging 34 across the last five. Not a great investment. He's an okay guy, but not great. CJ McCollum also been a bit off his game, averaging just 25 points across his last five, and at 6,800, that is not enough. His highest score in his last five has been 30. I don't hate using him. But the recent track record shows that he's not an ideal play. But this could be a game that he goes off to me. It's a tournament, and that's about it. Small forwards. Al-Farouq Aminu is questionable, dealing with a hand injury. We wouldn't have been using him either, nor are we using James Johnson. But if Aminu misses, Mo Harkless has found his way back into the rotation. He played 21 minutes in the last game. Didn't do much, but at 3,800, if Aminu misses and Harkless has to take on 25, 28 minutes, yeah, then I'm interested at 3,800. Then I would look at him and go, okay, let's have a look. Now, he wouldn't be guaranteed to get minutes. I think Alan Crabb could get a fair chunk of him, but Harkless should see a significant bump. And at 3,800, you'd have to pay attention to him. At power forward, Pat, 3,500. Doesn't even matter what sort of minutes he gets. He does nothing with him. He's averaging 10 fantasy points across his last five. Ed Davis, bit of a stinker in the last one. He's a bit boom or bust. 4,300 against his former team. I'm fine in a tournament. You know he can go for 30 plus easily with his defensive numbers. And the last game was a little bit weird with the fact that the Blazers had the game under control pretty easily and he didn't have to play too many minutes. So I think we take that out as a bit of an anomaly and he becomes an okay guy here. Luis Scola is past it and Noah Vonleh never got there to be past it. At center, Mason Plumlee at 5,200, and really nice matchup against Jonas Valanciunas. At 5,200, I just don't know if his upside's high enough. He's an okay guy, but the downside, you know, scares me off in cash and the tournaments. Not loving it. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,100, definitely not loving that. Just can't get the minutes at the moment. The production is way down. He's not a guy that I'm using, despite the matchup being nice. And Bismack Biyombo, Myers Leonard, they're both sub 4,000. They're both guys that maybe you look at in a tournament. Maybe I'd look at Myers Leonard more than I'd look at Biyombo, but still, it's a bit of a shot in the dark for either of those guys. The New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics are up next. Jose Calderon is at 3,800. It might seem appealing that a starting point guard is at 3,800. It's Jose Calderon, so it is not appealing. He has not been putting up numbers that have been impressive at all. He has had a 33-point game, though, in his last five, so take that into consideration. But it's a terrible matchup against Boston. If he goes out and puts up a big game, then I'll just be like, you know what, shit happens, and there's no way of rationalizing it. Marcus Smart at 5,300. In games that are a blowout, he tends to get a few extra minutes, and he's been performing pretty well. 26 average across his last five. A great matchup here. Like using Marcus Smart. Isaiah Thomas at 7,800, down under 8,000. That's appealing. Positive matchup again against Jose Calderon. 32 average across his last five. A 39 game he's had in the last five. So some nice numbers there. But again, it could be a blowout. Maybe he plays 29 minutes. Not keen. Shooting guards, Avery Bradley. Is the name here, 5,400. He's a solid option, but the matchup's beautiful. Does he get 27 points, 28 points maybe? I'm not convinced. Aaron Aflalo is a tournament option only, always. And Langston Galloway at 3,800. You need something to sort of go wrong with Aflalo or Calderon for him to get enough minutes to be relevant. Small forwards, Jay Crowder, 6,200, has been playing consistently well, 33 minutes across his last five. Only a 21 in the last game, a little bit of a down performance, but I'm expecting him to bounce back and have a big night. Evan Turner, same at 5,700. He had a bad game in the last one, but the Celtics were comfortably getting the victory, and these guys were just limited in their production. 5,700 for Turner. Yeah, I don't think that he's a guy that I'm all that keen on. 8,900 for Mallow. I'm okay with that. He's averaging 41 across his last three. He's trying to lift this team as best that he can. Yeah, 40 points should feel like it's easily within reach for Mallow. Power forwards, he's just limited at the moment. He's at 6,400. The numbers are okay. Yeah, 29 across the last five. That's fine. And the Celtics matchup is appealing, but my trust in him in cash is evaporated because of the way that Kurt Rambis has been handling him with fouls and all that sort of stuff. In a tournament, I'd look at it because we know that he can go out there and block 6-7 shots and really make a big impact and hit a couple of threes and go for 16 and 12 or something stupid like that. But for now, he's a guy that I'm not looking at in cash games. Jared Sullinger, I talked about him at the start of the show, very start. It's his birthday. Happy birthday. So birthday bump for Sullinger. You know what amazes me? Jared Sullinger is 2 years younger than Draymond Green. It's both their birthdays today. He's 2 years younger. That's pretty amazing to me. Now, Green is a one-of-a-kind sort of player, but when did Draymond Green become good? 2 years ago? Last season? Yeah, Sullinger's still 2 years. He still hasn't come into that season where Green broke out. I have a lot of faith in Sullinger as a player. Injuries are a concern. Weight's been a concern, but he's been impressive this season. And a lot of people to start the season, they're only starting Sullinger to showcase him for a trade, and my initial reaction to that is a shudder, as you probably know. That obviously didn't happen. They're not showcasing him for bullshit. He's just been their best big man. And I still think Olynyk is their best big man, but Sullinger has clearly been their best big man all season. He's averaging 34 points in DFS across his last three, 31 across his last five. The matchup is not good because Porzingis and the Knicks do a good job of defending power forwards, but 6,200 for Sullinger, you know that he can go big. I'm okay with using him. And while Olynyk's out, even in cash games, he's a decent option. The guys who aren't decent options, Jonas Jerebko, Amir Johnson, they're just so up and down. Jerebko, you know what? 3,600, not bad, especially averaging 16 across the last five. There's some tournament upside for him, but not much. You need him to get to 7, 8x to really get that value, and I don't think he's in a position to do that at this point. At center, Tyler Zeller at 3,600. Nope. Robin Lopez at 57, great matchup against the Celtics here. I like using Robin Lopez here. I think 30 points should be what you're looking at. And Kylo Quinn, decent minutes in the last game, but I put no trust in that. He is at 3,600, so there's maybe you look at and go, are they going to limit Lopez? I don't believe they will, but it is always a possibility with Kurt Rambis and Robin Lopez. The Next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 4.5. The total is 213 points. I don't think we're going to see any John Henson for the Bucks. Nemanja Bjelica is out for the Timberwolves as well. And the only guy who's really questionable in this game is Michael Carter-Williams with that knee issue. Now, I like Jared Bayless. He's at 4,300. Even if Carter-Williams does play, Bayless should get 25 minutes or so. He's playing against a good matchup in the Timberwolves. And at 4,300, I think he's a big chance to reach 5X value. If Carter-Williams is out, then I'm again, all for using Bayless at 4,300. Now, his last two games have been okay. A 24 average is all right. But I think against a team like Minnesota, he could be able to put up some pretty decent value. Rick Rubio, 6,700. Big game in the last one. Terrible matchup, although with Carter-Williams out, that changes the defensive pattern of the Bucks slightly. But not using him at 6,700, Carter-Williams I'm not using regardless if he plays or he doesn't. Or if he doesn't play, there's no chance I'd be using him. Shooting guards, Zach LaVine, 5,300. Love it. Been playing just a shitload of minutes. 39 across his last three, 36 across his last five. He's averaging 30 points. Lock him in and feel pretty confident about it. Andy Wiggins is at 6,200. 6,000 for Andrew Wiggins is not what I want to spend. It needs to be 5,500 before I get mildly interested. Chris Middleton at 7,900. That's pretty expensive, but he has a beautiful matchup. He is averaging 41 points across his last three. His minimum score is 32 across the last five games. He's a fine option to use at shooting guard if you're looking to spend up. Small forwards, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 8,300. It's big for Giannis. It feels big, but he's been dominant, averaging 48 points across his last five, 43 across his last three. It's not a tough matchup. 8,300, can he get to 40 points? Sure, I like Giannis here. Shabazz Muhammad at 4,100, I'd like him under 4,000, but he is playing a bigger role lately. Now, 21 average across his last five. He's fine if you're looking to save a couple of bucks and, you know, hoping for a consistent 20, 21 points out of someone there. But his ability to go higher is not all that big. Tayshaun Prince has thankfully been really marginalized and Damian Rudej not playing a huge amount. Power forwards, Jabari Parker at 5,900. Love him at 5,900. He's averaging 32 across his last five. You know, you feel like he's a great option at that salary. Gorgui Dieng. The minutes and the production have been a little bit less. 6,300, but he gets the benefit here of playing against the Bucks, which is awesome for big men. At 6,300, 40-point upside here for Gorgui Dieng. I do like it. I'm not overly sold, but I do like it a lot. And the centers, Karl Anthony Towns. He's playing the Bucks as a big man. That is beautiful. He's at 8,900. He's averaging 40 points across his last five. 45, 50 should not... If he gets 50 points here, it should not be any sort of a surprise. On the flip side, Miles Plumlee is going to play close to 20 minutes, and Jason Kidd always has the ability to go, you know what, let's play him 25, 26, and limit Greg Monroe. He's at 3,700. He could get 24 points. Do you expect it? No, but could he do it? Yes. In a tournament, that's fine. Greg Monroe, 7,200. It needs to come down heaps. He's only averaging 22 points across his last three games, 27 across his last five, not spending it unless he gets down to, you know, close to 6,000, to be honest. With the way that he's currently being deployed. Utah and Memphis. This screams stay away. The Grizzlies are favored by 1.5 points. And the total is 193.5. Shelvin Mack is minimum salary because he is terrible. But at minimum salary, a starting point guard who might get 30 minutes in a tournament. Sure, maybe he gets 25 points. Maybe he gets 27 points. But in all likelihood, I'm not relying upon it at all. Mike Conley. 7,000. He had a big game in the last one, but had been a little bit limited previous, but still been able to put up decent scores. 7,000 is okay. He's a solid option. He's not a great option. Mario Chalmers at 4,700. Don't trust him to get minutes. And Hal Netto and Trey Burke, no thank you. The Jazz have got 3 point guards that are all minimum salary for DFS. Shooting guards, Rod Hood is probable after that minor head injury. He's at 5,600. I wouldn't be using him anyway, even if he wasn't coming off a head injury. Don't like this matchup for him. Lance Stephenson with Tony Allen out at 3,800. Do you look at Lance? I'd look at him, but I'd probably keep looking. I'd move on. Small forwards. Gordy Haywood is at 7,400. He's been just churning out numbers. Now, the matchup is not good, and that's maybe a reason I fade him here, but you can get almost guaranteed 33, 34 points out of Gordy Haywood. Matt Barnes, on the other hand, there's no guarantees with Barnes. He's at 5,000. He could go for 35. He could go for 10. And when you're playing the Jazz, I tend to steer clear of guys like that. Derek Favors, 7,500, been playing really well real life, but his DFS numbers haven't been ideal. Not going to use him here. Zebo at 6,600 has been solid, but that's too expensive when you're playing the Jazz. And guys like Jermichael Green, Trevor Booker, Jarrell Martin, Trey Lyles, and no real appeal. Although Lyles is a guy at 3,700. If you're looking for a cheap guy in a late slate game, and maybe he gets 25 minutes and puts up 25 points, 3,700? Yeah, I can get behind that. Centers. Birdman, Chris Anderson, 3,600. He put up 20 points in the last game. The Grizzlies centers consist of Chris Anderson and Ryan Hollins. He has to play. As much as his body can't handle it, he's going to have to play 20-plus minutes. And what if he blocks four shots? Then we're talking 25 points. 3,600 is in reach for Anderson, and it's something that we look at. 6,700 for Rudy Gobert. Hasn't been good lately at all. Only averaging 24 across his last five. He's had some decent games recently, but not willing to spend that sort of money on him. Washington and Cleveland, the next game that is up. We don't have a spread released for this one yet. I guess we're waiting to see. I don't even know what we're waiting to see, to be honest, in this one. Yeah, I don't know why there's no spread. Anyway, point guard, Kyrie, 7,000. It's appealing against John Wall. I know that Kyrie has burned some people recently, but 40 points for Kyrie should be the aim here, and I think that he's a really good option. Cash and DFS I'm okay with. John Wall at 9,800 against Kyrie, his eyes should be lighting up. The problem is the game might be a bit of a slower pace against Cleveland, although they've been trying to push it more recently. 9,800, does he get to 50 points? I am anticipating a big John Wall game here, a big one. I think that 50 points is definitely within reach. Matthew Dellavedova, Ramon Sessions, they don't have any fantasy appeal. Shooting guards, J.R. Smith at 4,600. Tournament, yep. Cash game, no. Brad Beal at 5,600. He had a big game in the last one, put up 38 points. He's averaging just 24, though, across his last five. This is the first half of a back-to-back, so that means limited minutes for Beal. That means limited uses in DFS. Allen Anderson at 3,600, put up 23 in the last game. With Beal limited, maybe Anderson gets some extra run. And if Porter plays poorly again, maybe we see another 20-plus minutes from Allen Anderson. The flip side is Allen Anderson might get rested as he was the other day in a back-to-back. But still, he has 25-point upside, I think. Small forward, speaking of Otto Porter, he's at 4,800 and there is no chance that I'm using him in cash. I'd maybe look at a tournament and hope that he has a big game, but he's matching up against LeBron, so that's not ideal. Although he's done well against better defenders this year, LeBron, Kyrie, he's played okay. LeBron, on the other hand, is at 9,800. His numbers haven't been fantastic, but a 42 average is not terrible. At 9,800, it's so hard to go past LeBron at sub 10,000. It's so hard. I would feel fine rolling him out in cash and rolling him out in tournaments. Power forwards, Kevin Love. Wouldn't feel all that confident in rolling him out in cash, although he is averaging 30 across his last three. At 7,000, it's not enough. I'm not using him. Markeith at 5,200. Markeith Morris for the Wizards tournaments. He's had a 42-point game. He's had a 16-point game in his last five. He is not worth it for cash, and this is a terrible matchup. Tristan Thompson, Nene, Jared Dudley, none of these guys really appeal to me, even though they're all sub 5,000. Interesting to see if Channing Frye gets back into the rotation. He didn't play at all in the last game. Tim Mozgov, 3,500. Nah. Marcin Gortat, 7,000. Hate the way he's being deployed recently. And against a Cavs team who's just dominating opposition centers, there is no way that I'm going to be using Tim Mozgov here. Not Tim Mozgov. Well, I'm not using him, but no way I'm using Marcin Gortat. Brooklyn and Denver. The Nuggets are favored by 5.5. The total is 208.5 points. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,400. Great matchup against the Nets. He's very up and down. He's a tournament option, but he's got the ability to put up 30 points pretty comfortably, I think. Donald Sloan against the Nuggets, 4,800. Yeah, he's okay. I probably don't want to use him. And DJ Augustine at 4,000, averaging 26 points across his last three, dropped 38 in the last game. He's a great tournament option at that cheap salary. Shooting guards, Will Barton, 5,900, has been terrible lately. He should get some extra shots with Gallinari, and he was great when Gallinari was out at the start of the year. 5,900 is fine. I'm not cash gaming him, though. He's a tournament option only. Gaz Harris, 4,800. And just a quick aside, when I go through that post that I put up on Facebook, you know, who's your best waiver wire pickup, I really enjoy that people, you know, are writing down the stupid names that I call people. You know, someone wrote Gaz Harris as a guy. He's been his best waiver wire pickup. So I do. It makes me laugh. I say these names. I don't even know why I say them stupidly sometimes. But yeah, interesting that people are riding them. That's a complete aside to Gary Harris's DFS value at 4,800. Probably not using him. Wayne Ellington, Markell Brown. Yeah, I'd throw Ellington into a tournament at 3,700. Someone goes off on Brooklyn, we just don't know who it's going to be. Speaking of going off on Brooklyn, 4,000 for Bojan Bogdanovic. It's not a good matchup given the way that the Nuggets are defending small forwards, but I don't care. At 4,000, I would lock him into a tournament. And even in a cash game, he's been pretty consistent lately. Jakar Sampson's a minimum salary player. He's also a terrible player, so we're not going to look at him. Sergei Karasev, no. Mike Miller, no thanks. And the Nuggets recently signed Axel Toupin. Best name in the NBA, or close to it, but yeah, is his DFS value there? It probably isn't. He doesn't even have a salary yet, so yeah, can't even use him if you wanted to. At power forward, Darrell Arthur is at 3,700. Throw him into a tournament. He can put up big numbers, and Ken Fareed was limited to just 18 minutes in the last game with a back problem, so Arthur's worth looking at. Thad Young, on the other hand, 7,100 from the Nets. Love this matchup for him going up against the Brooklyn Nets. Against the Denver Nuggets. Great front court matchup for him. He's been on fire, averaging over 35 across his last five. Feels like a money play for cash and for tournaments. Thomas Robinson, Chris McCullough, Willie Reed, other big men on the Nets. They're not worth caring about. Brook Lopez, 8,500. He's been just a consistent guy, giving you 37, 38. That's what he's going to give you. But at 8,500, I want more. Not sure I'm going to get it from him. Nikola Jokic at 5,600. Tournament upside. Cash game, no thanks. He can explode for 40. He can have 10, depending on the whims of Mike Malone and foul trouble. And Joffre Lauvergne, he's even more unreliable and not as good. Atlanta and the Lakers is the last game of the night. There's a couple of injuries here that we need to look at. D'Angelo Russell is a great option. He's at $6,000. He's averaging 39 points across his last three, 35 across his last five. And the two injuries we need to look at on the Lakers are both guards. Kobe Bryant is questionable with his shoulder, and Jordan Clarkson questionable with a patellar tendon strain. Now, did a bit of research into Russell. His usage this season is, when he plays on the court with Kobe and Clarkson, is 20. When he plays without Kobe, his usage is 26.9. When he plays without Clarkson, his usage is 25.6. So if one of those guys misses, he's seeing a significant bump in usage. And we've seen how well he's played recently. Russell at 6,000, he's going to be in every cash lineup. He's going to be in a lot of tournaments as well. In a tournament, you might be wise to fade him. In a cash, I think that's going to be a real problem, especially if Kobe or Clarkson doesn't play. He has got 30, 40 points that he could be putting up because they just don't have enough players there. Dennis Schroeder at 5,100 could be a blowout. Maybe he gets an extra 5 or 6 minutes. He dropped 31 in the last game. He's at 5,100. In a tournament, we know he can go for 50 points. He had 49 in the last 5 games. Cash game, no chance, but this is an opportunity for him maybe to get some extra minutes as the Hawks, maybe limit some of their starters. Jeff Teague at 6,000, I don't want much to do with him. But another cheap option, Marcelo Huertas. If Clarkson and Kobe are out, Huertas played 31 minutes in the last game, put up 23 points. That's fine at 3,600. That's great, in fact, at 3,600. So he is definitely someone that I'd be interested in. Shooting guards. Kyle Korver had a big game at the last one. He's priced at 39. He's a great tournament punt, and that's about it. Jordy Clarkson at 59. The injury, obviously, is a worry. I'd be okay with throwing him out there if he's fine, but there is a concern. Kobe, no. Nick Young, Tim Hardaway, no thanks for either of those guys. Small forwards, Kent Bazemore. He's at 4,800. He had a massive slump, but he's turning it around. 28 points in the last three is his average. He's got a superb matchup. I think Kent Bazemore is a great tournament and a pretty solid cash game. Not a great cash game, but a pretty solid cash game play. If Kobe's out, Anthony Brown will get the start, and he'll also produce nothing, so there's not much point getting too excited about him. Power forwards, Paul Millsap, 7,900. He's playing the Lakers. 40 points should be the goal here, and I think that he can comfortably get that. Julius Randle at 6,100 hasn't been really returning value lately. I'd rather get another guy at power forward than him. And Larry Nance will be back after missing the Lakers last game, but he is not going to get enough minutes to produce enough value, even though he is minimum salary. Al Horford at 7,800. He's good, and he could really destroy the Lakers here, but just at 7,800, I think he needs to be lower sevens to be of more interest. Roy Hibbert at minimum salary and can't even return value. Whew, what a fall for Roy Hibbert. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day. Point guard Jared Bayless, 4,300, which gets bumped if Carter Williams is out. D'Angelo Russell at 6,000, which is huge if Clarkson and Kobe are out. And Kyle Lowry, 9,100. Shooting guards Devin Booker, 4,700. Zach LaVine, 53. And Chris Middleton, 79. Small forwards Kent Bazemore, 48. Jay Crowder, 62. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, 8,300. Power forwards Darrell Arthur, 37. Aaron Gordon, 64. And Paulie Millsap, 79. And the centers, Miles Plumlee, 37, Alex Len, 53, and Carl Anthony Towns, 8,900. We are done today, guys. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all the social media accounts by now. Leave a review on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, all that stuff helps immensely, and make sure you're checking out Basketball Monster and, of course, Hardwood Paroxysm with some great articles going up on Hardwood Paroxysm. I know there's some podcasts coming out there today, including the Fast Break Breakfast, so well done to Keith and all those guys in consistently churning out a great product, and I encourage you to go and check out that podcast as well. Keith and the boys do a great job over there on that on the Fast Break Breakfast podcast. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.